Max's General Store and Art Gallery, Colvane, Oregon. Friday, 12:01 p.m. Scully was already tired of driving and glad for the chance to stop and ask a few more people if they recognized Patrice and Jody Kennessy. "I can't find this town on the map," Mulder said. "Colvane, Oregon." Scully parked in front of a quaint old shake shingle house with a hand-painted sign dangling on a chain on a post out front. Max's General Store and Art Gallery. "Mulder, we're in the town, and I can't find it." The heavy wooden door of the general store advertised Morley Cigarettes. A bell on the top jingled as they entered the creaking hardwood floor of Max's. "Of course they'd have a bell," Mulder said, looking up. Behind the cash register, an old woman sat barricaded by newspaper racks and wire trays that held gum, candy, and breath mints.
"May I help you folks? Do you need maps or sodas?"
Mulder flashed his badge and ID. "We're federal agents, ma'am. We're wondering if you could give us directions to a cabin near here, some property owned by a Mr. Darren Kennessy." "We're looking for these two people," Scully said, putting the photos of the Kennessys down on the counter. The woman removed her glasses and wiped them off with a Kleenex, then put them on her face again.
"Yes, I think I've seen these two before, the woman at least. Been out here a week or two."
Mulder perked up.
"Yes, that's about the time frame we're talking about. Could you give us directions, ma'am?"
Scully asked, then held her breath in anticipation. The red-headed woman withdrew a pen, but didn't bother to write down directions.
"About 7 or 8 miles back, you turn on a little road called Locust Springs Drive. Go about a quarter of a mile, then turn left on a logging road. It's the third driveway on your right."
She toyed with her strand of fake pearls.
"The place has been empty for a long time."
"This is the best lead we've got so far," Scully said softly, looking eagerly at her partner. The thought of rescuing Jody Kennessy, helping him out in his weakened state, gave her new energy. As an FBI agent, Scully was supposed to maintain her objectivity and not get emotionally involved in a case lest her judgment be influenced by it. In this instance, she couldn't help it. She and Jody Kennessy both shared the shadow of cancer, and the connection to this boy she'd never met was too strong. Her desire to help him was far more powerful than Scully had anticipated when she and Mulder had left Washington to investigate the Dymar fire. The bell on the door jingled again, and a state policeman strode in, his boots heavy on the worn wooden floor of the general store. Scully looked over her shoulders as the trooper walked casually over to the soft drink cooler and grabbed a large bottle of orange soda.
"The usual, Jared?"
the woman called from the cash register, already ringing him up.
"Would I ever change, Maxie?"
he answered, and she tossed him a pack of artificially colored cheese crackers from the snack rack. The policeman nodded politely to Mulder and Scully and noticed the photographs as well as Mulder's badge wallet.
"Can I help you folks?"
"We're federal agents, sir," Scully said. She picked up the photographs to show him and asked for his assistance. Perhaps he could escort them out to the isolated cabin where Patrice or Jody might be held captive. But suddenly the radio at Jared's hip squelched. A dispatcher's voice came over, sounding alarmed, but brisk and professional.
"Jared, come in, please. We've got an emergency situation here. A passing motorist found a dead body up the highway about 3/4 of a mile past Doyle's property."
The trooper grabbed his radio.
"Officer Penwick here," he said. "What do you mean by a dead body? What condition?"
"A trucker,"
the dispatcher answered.
"His logging rig is half off the road. The guy's sprawled by the steering wheel and, well, it's weird, not like any accident injuries I've ever seen."
Mulder quickly looked at Scully, intrigued. "You go ahead, Scully. I can ride out to the location of the body with Officer, Penwick here and take a look around. If it's nothing, I'll have him take me to the cabin and meet up with you." Uneasy about being separated from him, but realizing that they had to investigate both possibilities without delay, she nodded. "Make sure you take appropriate precautions when investigating the body."
"I will, Scully."
Mulder hurried for the door. The bell jangled as the trooper left, clutching his cheese crackers and orange soda in one hand as he sent off an acknowledgement in his walkie-talkie. He glanced over his shoulder.
"Put it on my tab, Maxie. I'll catch you later."
Scully hurried behind them, letting the jingling door swing shut. Mulder and the trooper raced for his police vehicle, parked aslant in front of the general store. Mulder called back to her.
"Just see if you can find them, Scully. Learn what you can. I'll contact you on the cell phone."
She returned to their rental car, grabbing her keys. When she glanced down at the unit on the car seat, She finally noticed to her dismay that her cellular phone wasn't working. They were out of range. Kennessy's Cabin, Coast Range, Oregon, Friday, 12:58 p.m. Outside the cabin, Vader barked. He stood up on the porch and paced, letting a low growl loose in his throat. Patrice stiffened. This was a bark of warning. She had been expecting something like this, dreading it.
"What is it, Mom?"
Jody asked. From the drawn expression on his face, she could tell he felt the fear as much as she did. In the past week, she had trained him well enough.
"Someone's coming," she said.
Forcing bravery upon herself, she doused the lights inside the cabin, then swung open the front door to stand guard on the porch. They had run here, gone to ground, without preparation. She had to count on their hiding place, since she had no gun, no other weapons. Vader looked over his shoulder at her, then turned toward the driveway again. Jody crowded next to her, trying to see, but she pushed him back inside.
"Mom!"
he said indignantly, but she pointed a scolding finger at him, her face hard. He backed away quickly. A figure appeared in the trees, approaching on foot down the long driveway bordered by dark pines, coming closer, intent on the cabin. Patrice didn't have time to run.
"Who is it, Mom?" Jody asked. "Can you see?"
They had made a plan for such a situation, that they would both try to slip away unnoticed and vanish in the trees, hiding out in the wooded hills. Jody knew the surrounding forest well enough. But this intruder had taken them by surprise. He had come on foot, and now neither of them had time to run.
"Jody, you stay there. Take Vader, go to the back door, and hide. Be ready to run into the trees if you have to, but right now, it'll be a tip-off."
He blinked at her in alarm.
"But I can't leave you behind, Mom. If I buy you some time, then you can get a head start. If they don't mean any harm, then you don't have anything to worry about."
Her face turned to stone, and Jody flushed as he realized what she meant. She turned back to the door, squinting her eyes.
"Now keep yourself out of sight. Wait until the timing's right."
With a grim expression on her face, Patrice crossed her arms over her chest and waited on her front porch to meet the approaching stranger. The terror and urgency nearly paralyzed her. This was the moment of confrontation she had dreaded ever since receiving David's desperate phone call. Even from a distance, Patrice could see his dark gaze turned toward her, his eyes locked with hers. He had changed, his facial features distorted somehow, but she recognized him.
"Jeremy,"
she said with a cold breath.
"Jeremy Dorman."
Kennessy Cabin, Oregon Coast Range, Friday, 1:14 p.m.
"Patrice!"
Dorman called in a hoarse voice, then walked toward her at an accelerated, somehow ominous pace.
"Jeremy, are those men after you, too? How did you get away?"
The fact that somehow Jeremy had escaped gave her a flash of hope that perhaps David might have survived as well, but she could not grasp the thought. It slipped through her mental fingers. She had 1,000 questions for him, but most of all, she was glad just to see a friend, someone facing the same predicament as she was. She was suddenly wary.
"Were you followed? If they came after us here, we don't have any weapons."
"Patrice,"
he interrupted her,
"I'm desperate. Please, help me."
He swallowed hard, and his throat continued to move far longer than it needed to.
"I need to come inside. I have a lot to explain, but not much time. Look at me, at the shape I'm in. It's very important. Do you have the dog here as well?"
"I need some answers first," she said, not moving from the porch. He stopped in his tracks, uncertain.
"How did you survive the fire at Dymar? We thought you were dead."
Dorman's dark, hooded eyes bored into her.
"I was betrayed. Just like David was."
He took 2 steps closer.
"What are you saying?"
After what she had been through, Patrice thought almost anything might sound believable by now. Dorman nodded.
"They had orders to make sure nothing would survive. No record of our nanotechnology research, only ashes."
Dorman lurched to a halt 10 feet from the porch, stopping in the weeds of the meadow.
"They're all after you now, too, Patrice. We can help each other, but I need Vader. He carries the stable prototypes in his bloodstream."
"Prototypes? What are you talking about?
The nanotechnology prototypes. I had to use some of the defective earlier generations, samples from the small lab animals, but many of those exhibited shocking anomalies. I didn't have any choice, though. The lab was on fire. Everything was burning. I was supposed to be able to get away, but this was the only way I could survive.
He looked at her, pleading, then lowered his voice.
But they didn't work the way they were supposed to. With Vader's blood, there is a chance I can reprogram them and myself.
Her mind reeled. She knew what David had been working on, had suspected something wrong with the black lab.
Where's Jody?
Dorman said, peering past her to see through the curtains or the half-closed door.
Hey, Jody! Come out here, it's all right!
Jody had always looked at Dorman as a friend of his father's, a surrogate uncle, especially after Darren had left. Before Patrice could collect her thoughts, understand exactly where the situation stood, Jody pulled open the cabin door, accompanied by his black lab dog.
Jeremy!
Dorman looked down at Vader, delighted and relieved, but the dog curled back his dark lips to expose fangs. The low growl sounded like a chainsaw embedded in the dog's throat, as if Vader had some kind of grudge against Dorman. But Dorman paid no attention. He was staring at Jody, healthy Jody, in amazement. The skin on Dorman's face blurred and shifted. He winced, somehow forcing it back into place.
Jody, you're recovered from the cancer.
It's a miracle, Patrice said stiffly. Some kind of spontaneous remission. The sudden predatory expression on Dorman's oddly glistening face made a knot in her stomach.
No, it's not a spontaneous remission. Is it, Jody? My God, you have it, too.
The boy paled, took a step backward.
I know what your dad did to you.
For some odd reason, Dorman kept his eyes fixed upon Jody and the dog. Patrice looked at Jody in confusion, then an instant of dawning horror as she realized the magnitude of what David had done, the risk he had taken, the real reason why his brother had been so frightened of the research. Jody's recent good health was not the result of another remission. All of David's hard work and manic commitment had paid off after all. He had found his cure for cancer without telling Patrice. But in the space of an indrawn breath, her incredible joy and relief and lingering heartbreak was tempered with fear of Jeremy Dorman, fear of his predatory glances at Jody, of his unnaturally shifting features, his slipping control.
This is even better than Vader.
Dorman's dark eyes blazed, taking on a distorted look.
I just need a sample of your son's blood. Some of his blood, not much.
Shocked and confused, Patrice flinched, but stood defiantly on the porch, not moving. She wasn't going to let anyone touch her son.
His blood? What on earth?
I don't have time to explain to you, Patrice. I didn't know they meant to kill David. They were staging the protest. They meant to burn the place down, but they were going to move the research to a more isolated establishment.
His face contorted with anger.
I was supposed to be their lead researcher in the new facility, but they tried to murder me, too.
Patrice's mind reeled. Her perception of reality was being assaulted from too many directions at once.
You knew all along they intended to burn the place down?
You were part of the conspiracy? No, I didn't mean that. It was all supposed to be under control. They lied to me, too.
You let David be killed, you bastard. You wanted the credit. You wanted his research.
Patrice. Jody, I'll die without your help. Right now.
Dorman strode toward the porch with great speed, but Patrice moved to block his path.
Jody, get back in the cabin. Right now. We can't trust him. He killed your father.
Her voice was ice cold, and the boy was already frightened. He quickly moved to do as she asked. Dorman stopped 5 feet away, glowering at her.
Don't do this. You don't understand.
I know I've got to protect my son after all he's been through. You're probably still working for those men hunting us. I'm not letting you near him.
She held her fists at her side, ready to tear this man apart with her bare hands.
Jody, go out and hide in the forest. You know where to go, just like we planned before.
she shouted into the gap of the half-open door.
Go!
Something squirmed beneath Norman's chest. He hunched over, covering his stomach and his ribs. Finally, he rose up with his eyes glassy and pain-stricken.
I can't wait any longer, Patrice.
He swayed in his step, coming closer. In the back of the cabin, the rear door banged shut. Jody had run outside, making a beeline for the forest. Inside, she thanked her son for not arguing. She had feared he would side with Jeremy and want to help the man. Vader bounded around the side of the cabin after Jody, barking. Dismissing Patrice, Dorman turned toward the back.
Jody! Come here to me, boy!
He trudged away from the porch over to the side of the cabin. Patrice felt an animal scream build within her throat.
You leave my boy alone!
Dorman spun about and withdrew a revolver from his pants pocket. He gripped it with unsteady hands, holding it in front of her disbelieving gaze.
You don't know what you're doing, Patrice, he said. You don't know anything about what's going on. I can just shoot the dog, or Jody, and get the blood I need. Maybe that would be easiest after all.
His muscle control was sporadic, though, and he could not keep a steady beat on her. Patrice could not believe he would shoot her anyway. Not Jeremy Dorman. With an outcry, she vaulted over the porch railing, throwing herself in a battering ram tackle toward Dorman. As he saw her charging him, he flinched backward with a look of horror on his face.
No, don't touch me!
Then she plowed into him, knocking his gun away and driving the man to the ground.
Jody, run! Keep running! She screamed.
Dorman thrashed and writhed, trying to kick her away.
No, Patrice, stay away! Stay away from me!
But she fought with him, clawing, pummeling. His skin was slick and slimy. Without a word, Jody and the dog raced into the forest. Kennessy's Cabin, Coast Range, Oregon. Friday, 1:26 p.m. The dense trees clotted him. Their branches scratched his face, tugged his hair, grabbed his shirt. But Jody kept sprinting anyway. The last words he heard were his mother's desperate shout,
Jody, run! Keep running!
Vines grabbed at the toes of his shoes, but Jody kept stumbling along.
Jody, wait!
It was Jeremy Dorman's voice, but it carried a strange and strangled undertone.
Hey, Jody! It's okay! I'm not gonna hurt you!
Jody hesitated, then kept pushing ahead. Vader barked loudly and dashed under another fallen tree, then bounded up a rocky slope. Jody scrambled after him. He heard Dorman lumbering through the trees, crashing branches aside, alarmingly close. How could the man have moved so fast?
Your mother wants to see you. She's back at the cabin.
Jody hurried down a slope into a small gully where a stream trickled over rocks and fallen branches. Then he saw the heavy form of Jeremy Dorman in his tattered shirt. Their eyes met from across the great distance in the shadowy forest. Seeing a complete stranger behind Jeremy's eyes, Jody ran with redoubled effort. His heart pounded, and his breath came in great gasps. He dove through clawing bushes that held him back. Behind him, Dorman had no difficulty charging through the underbrush. Jody scrambled up a slope, slipping on loose, wet leaves. He knew he couldn't keep up this incredible effort for long. Dorman didn't seem to be slowing at all. He ran to a small gully thick with deadfall and lichen-mottled sandstone outcroppings and hid. Dorman came closer, pushing shrubs away, looking through the forest murk. Jody sat in tense silence. In the distance, Vader barked, and Dorman paused, then turned too in a different direction. Jody saw his chance and attempted to slip away, but as he moved one of the fallen branches aside, a precariously balanced log crunched down into the brittle deadwood. Dorman froze again and then came charging toward Jody's hiding place. The boy ducked down under the fallen trunk again, scuttled along next to the slick rock, and wormed his way out to the other side of the gully. He stood up and raced off again, keeping his head low, pushing branches out of the way as Dorman yelled at him, fighting through the front of the thicket. Jody risked a glance over his shoulder to see how close his pursuer had come. Dorman reached up with a meaty hand pointing toward him. Jody recognized a handgun at the same moment he saw a blaze of light flare from its muzzle. A loud crack echoed through the forest. A chunk of splintered bark and wood exploded away from the pine tree only 2 feet above his head. Dorman had shot at him.
Come here! Right now, damn it!
Dorman yelled. Biting back an outcry, Jody scrambled away into the thick underbrush behind the tree that had protected him. Back behind him, Dorman sloshed across the cold stream, not even trying to use the stepping stones.
Jody! Come here!
Jody fled desperately toward the sound of the barking dog, and he hoped, safety.